Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
1 Peter chapter 2. We have been in this series the last couple of weeks that I'm calling Momentum, a living faith in motion. We are going through 1 Peter verse by verse. Peter, as you know, was a very close disciple of Jesus. And so it's no surprise to us that much of what we read here in 1 Peter is reminiscent of the teachings of Christ that Jesus gave to his disciples and then Peter passes on to believers. So this series is all about our faith growing, our faith vibrant, expressive, active, and activated as we seek to be faithful to Christ in these days that we're living in. So 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, we're going to pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago. But let's give our attention to what Peter teaches followers of Jesus. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves to the Lord's sake, to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So to begin this passage of scripture, Peter goes Old Testament on us. And then he goes New Testament. By Old Testament, I mean he goes, thou shalt not. Look at verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage against your soul. In other words, thou shalt not indulge in sinful desires. You know, as people of faith, we need both testaments. We really do. We need the thou shalt nots because they really are good for us. I know we don't like them. I mean, what little kid likes being told what not to do, right? What adult likes being told what not to do? It goes against our grain. It grates on us. We hate being told what not to do. But we need the thou shalt nots because God knows what's best for us. Years ago, long time ago, there was an older lady who attended our church, and she was a gossip. But not just any gossip. She was the quintessential old lady church gossip. And the way she went about gossiping was really hurtful to the church. Not that there's a good way to gossip, but in her case, she was especially divisive and hurtful. One day I ran into her at the store, and after going around and around and around with her, I finally looked at her and I went Old Testament on her and I said, "You need to stop gossiping." That's exactly how I said it, just like that. You need to stop. You're hurting a lot of people and you're hurting the church. Thou shalt not. Needless to say, she did not take that very well, which only further perpetrated her gossip, but God eventually took care of that situation. The point is this, however paradoxical it may sound, if we're going to have momentum in our faith and move forward with God and go deeper with God, we simply have to be open and receptive and obedient to the thou shalt nots of the Bible. It's one of the ways that sets us apart from the ungodly, as we'll see here in verse 12. If we're going to be a people of faith, if we are going to be faithful followers of Jesus, if we're going to faithfully read and apply the Bible, God's Word is going to make it pretty clear to us that there are things that we should not be doing. Thou shalt not. And Peter says to those who he loves, those who he calls friends, to abstain from sinful desires. God bless you if you have a friend like that in your life. A dear friend who is not afraid to talk to you about things in your life that are not good for you. Let me tell you, you are blessed if you have a friend or two in your life who see things that you may be involved in and maybe you're dabbling in and playing around with that are not good for you and your life and your soul, and they call you on it. And they call you on it because they genuinely love you and care about you. Again, we don't like being told what not to do. We really don't. We hate the thou shalt nots. But if you have a friend who loves you enough and cares for you deeply to say, "You're walking down the wrong path," or "You're getting involved in things and people and situations that you should not be getting involved in," let me tell you, if you have a friend like that in your life, you are blessed. And if you don't have a friend like that in your life, find a friend like that and sit down with them over coffee and say, "You know, I'm giving you permission that if you ever see me going down the wrong path, if you ever see something in my life that is not of God, I'm giving you full permission to call me on it because I want to stay true to God." Peter is writing to us as a friend because he wants God's best for us. He says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain, thou shalt not, abstain from sinful desires which wage war in your soul." And make no mistake about it, there is a battle for our souls. Jesus taught in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy is ruthless. The enemy is relentless. The enemy doesn't play around. And he will use your vulnerabilities against you and wage war in your soul. And he will not stop until you become his prisoner. And so this language of waging war that Peter uses here is pretty vivid imagery. Peter also reminds us here that we are foreigners and exiles. This world is not our permanent home. We are foreigners and exiles, or this translation uses the word aliens. We are foreigners and exiles. Monday was the 4th of July, one of my all-time favorite national holidays because it has everything built into it that you need for the perfect party, right? It has food, fireworks, and friends. And I hope you enjoyed all three. And oh, by the way, we have the 4th of July because we celebrate our freedom. There's never been a country like the United States of America in the history of the world. Our representative form of government, our judicial system where you are presumed innocent until proven guilty, our entrepreneurial spirit, our ability to freely practice religion as we see it, the rights and freedoms we enjoy as Americans. There has never in the history of the world been a country quite like the United States of America. We also know we're not a perfect country. We all realize that there are issues that we are dealing with as a nation that need to get resolved if they will ever get resolved. Yet however imperfect we are as a nation, it is an honor to be a citizen of the United States of America. That being said, as followers of Jesus, as Christians, as citizens of God's kingdom, first and foremost, we are living here as foreigners and exiles. This is not our permanent home. If you remember, this is how Peter begins his letter earlier in chapter 1, verse 1. He says, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout. And so as foreigners and exiles, Peter is reminding us to not get too comfortable here because all this is just temporary. However wonderful the United States of America is, or some would say was, still others may say will be, the United States of America is not heaven. The United States of America is not the kingdom of God. And as foreigners and exiles, we find our permanent citizenship in heaven, God's kingdom. Any other citizenship is temporary and always secondary to our primary citizenship in heaven. This world will mistreat you, especially as a follower of Jesus. This world will mistreat you. This world will take advantage of you. This world will abuse you, hurt you, and devalue you. This world will, verse 12, accuse you of wrongdoing. This world is, verse 18, harsh. In this world you will endure, verse 19, unjust suffering. In this world you will, verse 20, suffer for doing good. All these are examples that Peter gives of what we will endure as foreigners and exiles. This world does not value you as a child of God created in the image of God. And so we are not to find or define our identity from this world. Let me give you an example. A father said to his daughter, who just graduated from high school, "You have graduated with honors, so I would like to give you a Jeep that I bought many years ago. It's pretty old now, but it still runs great. But before I give it to you, I want you to take it to the used car lot downtown and tell them you want to sell it and see how much they will offer you for it." And so the daughter took the Jeep and went to the used car lot, returned to her father and said, "You know, they offered me $1,000 because they said it looks pretty worn out." The father said to his daughter, "Now, I want you to take it to the pawn shop and see what they will offer you for it." Daughter went to the pawn shop, returned to her father, and said, you know, the pawn shop offered only $100 because it is a very old Jeep. The father then asked his daughter to go to a Jeep club and show them the Jeep. The daughter took the Jeep to the club, returned to her father, and said, you know, there were people in that club who offered $100,000 for it because it's such an iconic Jeep and sought after by many collectors. And the father said to his daughter, the right place will always value you in the right way. If you are not valued, don't get angry. It just means you're in the wrong place. Too many Christians and followers of Jesus are angry at the world because of how the world is and how the world devalues them and devalues what they value. And they shake their fist in anger at the world and they say, damn you, world! God will smite you! You're going to hell! We're going to boycott you! We hate you! But this is not how we are to live as foreigners and exiles in a broken, sinful, and fallen world. Look at verse 12. Live such good lives. That's the title of my message today. Live such good lives. Live such good lives, Peter says, among the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. Pagans are going to do as they please. The ungodly don't live by the thou shalt not codes of conduct that people of faith do. And so they will do as they please, even if it's immoral, unethical, and unscrupulous. They will accuse you of wrongdoing. The world will mistreat you. The world will take advantage of you, abuse you, hurt you, devalue you. And how are we to live in such a world? Live such good lives. This is our New Testament code of conduct. We have the thou shalt nots. That's our Old Testament code of conduct. The Ten Commandments, for example. We also have the New Testament code of conduct. And Peter says, if we're going to live with a faith-filled momentum, we are to live such good lives. When you are wrongly accused, live a good life. When you are mistreated, live a good life. When you're taken advantage of, when you're abused, hurt, and devalued, live a good life. Mother Teresa, who was the founder of the Missionaries of Charity, which did so much good in the world and continues to do good in the world, said it so wonderfully this way. She said, people are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. You see, that's to be our posture in the world. And our posture need not be one of double angry fists at the world, or neither should we be retreating from the world and hiding in our homes or running into the hills. Peter says, as foreigners and exiles, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. There is no question whatsoever that Peter got this from Jesus, who said in Matthew 5:16, and thank you, Karen, for reading that verse earlier, as part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." See your good deeds. Live such good lives. In our passage for today, Peter gives us several concrete examples of precisely just how to go about living a good life. Look at verses 13 and 14. We are to live a life of submission. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to command those who do right. You know, I have heard way too many followers of Jesus speak horribly and terribly of politicians with whom they do not agree. And as you know, politics is a very hot topic, and opinions are strong and discussions get heated, I get that. But again, as people of faith living as foreigners and exiles, our posture in the world towards civil government is not to be double-fisted, angry, and hot-headed. Peter says, submit to every human authority. You say, but the governor is a Democrat. Do you know what they stand for? Or the president is a Republican. Do you know how corrupt they are? We all know that human authority is flawed. That's why Peter says human authority. Human authority is flawed, corrupt, and self-serving. But for the Lord's sake, Peter says, because our citizenship is in God's kingdom, and because ultimately our confidence is in God, we can submit to flawed authority because in the eternal scheme of things, God's perfect and divine authority will supersede all. Another aspect that Peter gives is in verse 17. Another way we live such good lives is that we show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and honor the emperor. Honor the emperor? Peter, do you even know just how corrupt and ruthless and ungodly the emperor is? And you want us to show respect and honor to the emperor? That's exactly what Peter is saying. American Christians have failed miserably when it comes to this in recent decades, when it comes to American politics. Miserably. It's almost as if American Christians have forgotten or never even read here in the scriptures that we are nothing more than foreigners and exiles in this land. Another example that Peter gives in how to live such good lives is in verse 18. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. So Peter, let me get this straight. You're asking me to submit to my boss, who is the worst blankety-blank boss ever? That's exactly what Peter is asking us to do. He's asking us to work hard, do our jobs, mind our business, do the best we can, and yes, submit to our masters, both the good ones and the harsh ones, because we have reverent fear and respect for God. And all this is because Jesus is our example. When Jesus was falsely accused and arrested and brought before the Jewish and Roman officials, he humbly submitted to their authority without threats of double-fisted retribution and retaliation. Jesus was falsely accused. Jesus suffered unjustly. Jesus had the burden of the world placed upon his shoulders for doing nothing wrong. Jesus actually did everything right. And he is our example for living such good lives. even when this world mistreats us, devalues us, abuses us, and mocks us. Look at verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Verse 23. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, what did Jesus do? He entrusted himself to God, who judges justly. This verse 23 speaks for itself. We are to live such good lives because the greatest example we have is the Savior we profess to follow. I tried to make a list of some of the good that people in our church are doing. This isn't an exhaustive list by any means, so if I don't mention you or something you're involved in, please don't take offense. But we have a faithful church member who a couple times a week volunteers their time at the senior center helping to prepare and pack meals for the elderly in our community. That is quite admirable, and may God bless you for the good that you are doing. We have several people in our church who offer rides to those who desperately need to get to places, whether it be a doctor's appointment or to run vital errands. God bless you for what you do. We have a church member who takes time on their day off to develop musical skills for those who are interested in growing as musicians. God bless you for the time you put into mentoring other people. We have a church member who is very attentive to the needs of the less fortunate in our community who are struggling. God bless you for looking after them and doing your part in alleviating the sufferings of others. We have many in our church family who are doing good in your secular jobs and really helping and serving people. Even when things really get tough for you at work, your light is shining in the dark places.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.